personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
The Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast. We're back again. A little late this week, but that's okay. A lot of sporting news this week. We had the NHL opening day last night, but we don't have to talk about that.
I don't think we have time, but we can, of course.
No, let's not.
The Avalanche, of course, the defending champs.
Yeah, they beat somebody. I don't remember
who. Said I was going to get a jersey, and then I didn't do it because I was all gung-ho, and I went and looked at the jersey I wanted, which is like that old school, looked like an elephant.
Oh.
The elephant with its trunk swatting a ball, and it was like way more than I thought it was, and I'm like, can a casual hockey fan buy one of these? I don't know. I might be too casual. If that was a Sean Taylor custom NFL jersey, I'd be like, well, yeah, that's worth it.
Well, to be fair, I almost bought a WNBA jersey under the clause that Chicago, if they
Yeah, but how much are those? $12?
I would have paid whatever it would have taken. I needed my Candace Parker jersey.
I'm being a jerk.
Or as LeBron James infamously said, and then the internet just went off on him. They asked him what he was doing at the NBA Finals, what he was here looking forward to. And his quote was, I'm just here for CP. And you don't seem to know what that stands for, but I can't really say it on air. It does stand for Candace Parker in that context.
All right.
Now it stands for an illegal thing that your really gross janitor from high school might have had stored on his computer.
Gross.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on quickly.
That's what LeBron James is all about.
So can I jump into this with Dan Snyder? So this is now keep in mind, everyone's guilt. Whoops, I almost put it backwards. All people are innocent until proven guilty, except the court of public opinion, where you are guilty until proven innocent.
Dal would have each and every one of you locked up right now until we find something to.
Yes. but the report out today, which happens to be a day that Washington plays, by the way, so don't think for a minute that's a coincidence. but the sources say that Dan Snyder has dirt and information on Roger Goodell, as well as many other owners, including Jerry Jones, to which I said, duh. That's clearly the only reason he's still been allowed to keep his franchise to this point.
You would not believe how excited I am to learn what this dirt
is. I'll believe it when I see it, man. I've been teased for the last 2-3 years about people, ever since the name change announcement came. And we didn't even have a real name, and I got used to the not real name. That's how long it's been. It's like, oh, he's on his way out. It's like, well, he's still there, living on his $50 million yacht in international waters, collecting his NFL subsidy checks. Anyway, according to this report, is just as bad as we all thought he was. Of course, his lawyer says it's hard to imagine a more carefully crafted batch of lies that's been backed by big money over the last 2 years. So take your pick on who you believe. But all I know,
poor Dan Snyder.
All I know is that Washington sucks since he's the owner, and I wish he'd go away. There. Period.
Speaking of things that have broken just today, featuring Washington on a day they're supposed to be playing, your starting cornerback William Jackson III has demanded a trade.
Good. Maybe we'll get something back for him, because all we're getting for him now is touchdowns for the other team.
Apparently he was, quote, a hot commodity over the past week before he demanded his trade today, so they expect that he will be traded shortly.
Hopefully we'll get something for him that will help kind of bridge that gap, because that the third rounder for Carson Wentz is clearly going to be a second rounder unless they just absolutely pull him like in week 9 or before. He's like 5th in the league in passing yardage right now, or 4th, and 5th in touchdowns. Here's the bottom line. The issue is not with Carson Wentz. Anyway, but William Jackson III, me and my brother, every week it's like, wasn't he supposed to be our big free agent signing and from the Bengals, and he's going to help shore up the... No, he's worse. He's worse than the guys that were undrafted that we signed off the street.
Now,
that like Forrest, he's if we can get a draft pick for him, it's a bonus.
Now, I will say this. This is one of the few instances where a player leaves one team, goes to another team, and a lot of the time when they suck, we just blame it on, well, they got their money and now they're not trying anymore. I don't know that you'd demand a trade if you, quote, weren't trying anymore. Like, clearly he still feels like he cares about football.
He's not.
But
he has not played very well. Now, whether that's Washington's issue or his.
I will say this. I'm not sure that it's, quote, Washington's issue.
Or fault.
But I will say Cincinnati played nearly 90% man coverage in the secondary last year, which was also what he played a lot in college, and he is now claiming is his preferred defensive alignment. Washington, according to a tweet from Ian Rappaport, has dropped back into a zone defense on 62.5% of their defensive plays. That's fourth in the NFL. So they run a lot more zone than most other teams. Maybe it's just one of those things where he's not a fit for this particular defense. Whatever. So like you said, if you can get something back for him that does fit your team.
He's on your bench now.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's this early. You can still get, I think, decent value for what you're looking for. You may not get exactly what you're looking for, like, which I don't know what they're looking for him in terms of compensation. But you can get something close, I think, because you can even be self-deprecating as a coach slash GM and say, you know what? We got him. We were running this, and you know he just didn't fit for us. It's my fault. He's still a great player, you know. And then give me a third rounder, you know, stuff like that. I have no idea what they'll get for him, if anything. But that's fine with me.
Yep.
See ya.
So that can almost just lead us right into our first game of the week. I'm going to assume that we both just decided to get cute and pick our own teams here. At least I did.
I am picking my own team.
Yeah.
I always pick my own team. This week, they actually have a chance to win. No offense.
I'm taking the Chicago Bears. They're at home. This is a coin flip game anyway. I might as well pick the Bears. Why not?
I think Washington is due. This is how hopeful I am. I'm hoping the young man, Brian Robinson Jr., who was shot, came back, played a couple plays. I'm hoping he has one of those galvanizing moments tonight where he, like, scores two touchdowns and the whole franchise is like, we don't care about Dan Snyder. We're going to care about ourselves. We've got Brian. He is a now, saintly young man who scored two touchdowns.
I just say, this is a decent chance to do it. The Chicago Bears rank 31st against the run this year.
Is Washington 32nd?
I want to say it's Houston dead last. But the Bears are down there. They're getting run over this year as they adjust to the new defensive alignment.
Here's the thing. And again, when it comes to my own team, I can't have non-biased opinions. I've tried, and even when times I think I'm not, I know that I do. So in this situation, what I'm about to say is a biased opinion, and this is as it comes out. I feel like Washington will be able to score more points than the Bears tonight.
That would be what winning is, yes?
Yes. So, but people would point to them and say, what makes you think that? Well, I'm not sure. I just feel like they will. I think Wentz will put up.
You certainly have better offensive weaponry than
yes,
we do.
Much better.
Darnell Mooney's our wide receiver one. I bet he plays in the slot for Washington.
If Washington's offensive line can be consistently, you know, help Wentz a little bit there.
Now, that will be a thing to watch, is these are two of the bottom 10 pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus lines in
and
football.
And here's the thing. Washington, that's new for them. Even last year when they were beat up and battered on the line, they had guys step in and still do pretty well. This year, they got guys stepping in that it's like, have you done this before? Norwell. What's his first? I don't even know what his first name is. All I know is his name is Norwell, and he is Norwell very good. He's not good at keeping defensive blitzers off his quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's like a turnstile.
That's what the Bears fans have been clamoring about Sam Mustipher, which I always feel bad when Bears fans just want to, like, fans of any team really, just go to town on an undrafted player who's only starting because of an injury. Like, that always feels unfair to me. Like, oh, come on, guys.
See,
the poor dude is undrafted.
You can feel that way for maybe a quarter. And then it's like, well, if you can't do the job, then you're not a professional player. Then get out.
Yeah.
You're making way too much damn money as a professional player for me to feel that level of sympathy. This is not Friday night where you know, Mrs. Smith's boy John is going to go and play for his first game, and I sure hope he plays a good I don't care. This is the pros.
The only reason I say that is I always think back to Tony Romo, who used to get lambasted from Cowboys fans because they, quote, expected more and the team should win more. And I said, your expectations should have been dirt barrel bottom. He was undrafted.
And see, I never understood the hate for Tony Romo. As
and he's good anyway.
As a team that he beat regularly, I was like, we'd have taken him in a heartbeat.
He would, at this moment, be the second best Bears quarterback ever?
Yeah, like right now.
Not
like 5 years ago. Right now. I don't think you're wrong. Anyway, remember when we said we were only going to spend 2 minutes on each pick?
Well, that one was Bears Washington,
though.
That's
true. Anyway, I think Washington will be able to outscore the Bears, minus things like turnovers.
We're going to have to figure out if Justin Fields plays like he did in the first four games of the season, or if he decides to play like he did against Minnesota last week, where he actually was dotting up some receivers, and we all went, "Wait, hold on. So you've been able to do this the whole time? What? Why haven't you been?"
Well, I'm hopeful that the Washington D-line, who actually played better last week, and here's the thing, Washington fans are just going nuts, lamenting Carson Wentz and Ron Rivera and all this crap this week. They should have won that game. They should have won that game against the Titans. They just didn't. But that's why everyone's mad. It's like,
how do you get to the two and you get that many plays? And again, I watched the all 22 just for fun of it. They ran, I think, three plays before the ball got intercepted. On three straight pass plays, there was not one receiver with an inch of separation anywhere on that field.
Well, because
how do you do this?
Well, they're doubling McLaurin, and then your mismatch was out. Dotson, and he'll be out again tonight. He's not playing tonight. But then your tight end, who you paid a bunch of money to 2 years ago, does what the Washington tight end position does. He collects his big free agent check and then is injured. That's what that position is. The guy you drafted to be that guy to score in between the tackles within the two got shot in the week before the preseason.
Well, and I don't think they had any timeouts, so I think they weren't ever going to try to run the ball.
There was a lot of things where it's like, well, why don't I do this? There were reasons, but I'm still very much, go watch Joe Gibbs when he talks about, you know, different, he's like, well, they were getting to our quarterback, so we switched into this two tight end set, and then we were chipping this guy, and it's just like, I don't think coaches even think that way anymore. Damn the torpedoes. We're going to run out of this pistol. We're going to do this. There's only a yard to go. Back up 5 yards and let's run an option pistol with the quarterback. And it drives me crazy. Line up with the biggest, fattest, meanest guys. Don't feed them that day. Bring those guys off the bench. Overload one side and push the damn ball into the end zone. Done.
I've been whining about
this.
Stop
overthinking it.
One team that is very, very good at playing like it's 1990 again, the San Francisco 49ers. And I say that, and you might think that's a backhanded compliment or an insult, but they're so good at it. Kyle Shanahan, I love, and I have grown up my whole life, I have hated the San Francisco 49ers for two reasons. One, they come from the city of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Two, the 1980s happened, and the fans need to pay for this. Pittsburgh, Dallas, San Francisco, you guys are done. Now New England, you're done.
Yeah.
You let other teams catch up. You stop. You sit down. It's the...
Dallas has done a good job. Nice job, Dallas. I think they've won one playoff game in 30 years.
Jerry Jones respects the parody of the NFL.
I would love to know what the dirt is, by the way, on Jerry Jones.
Anyhow, the Kyle Shanahan 49ers, for whatever reason, I can't hate them. They're so fun to watch. They have a lot of weirdly Chicago connections. Garoppolo's from Chicago.
I know, you and your George Kittle fetish.
Oh, You guys can't see this at home, but I'm currently rubbing my nipples to George Kittle.
I think Aaron is an OnlyFans to George Kittle.
Yes.
He's one of those.
Tevin Coleman is from Chicago. For those of you that care about Tevin Coleman and his exploits.
I don't.
Oh, that's a shame.
I do know that Tashaun Gibson.
And Robbie Gould.
Tashaun Gibson Sr. is on the 49ers, who I like.
Ex-Bear.
And guess where he played college ball? The University of Wyoming, baby.
That feels like the answer that was inevitably coming.
Yeah. San Francisco is, it's interesting to me because this is a lineup and a team that was designed and built to win. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason in the post, in the offseason, they bowed to the draft pick pressure of, well, we drafted this guy, we have to start him. Even though clearly they are a better team with Jimmy Garoppolo than they were with Trey Lance.
I'm wondering if it wasn't more, less we feel we have to start him because we drafted him, and more what a lot of people are saying about the 49ers is that they've got 52 Super Bowl caliber players on this roster, and Jimmy Garoppolo is really just kind of steering the bus. And it kind of feels like both the Super Bowl year and last year in the NFC title game, and I kind of agree with it, we kind of collectively blamed Garoppolo for both those losses.
He didn't deserve the blame. In fact,
he played really poorly in the fourth quarter of both of those games.
I do think he's better than what people think he is, though. He is much better than Trey Lance.
It would behoove him to stop choking in the fourth quarter of your team's final game of every year.
Yeah, but that's almost every quarterback. That's why we revere certain quarterbacks and don't others. Anyway,
so it's possible they just
Niners, but I will say
I will take the 49ers. We didn't talk about the Falcons at all.
I will say this: if the Falcons win, it's because they're wearing their throwback red helmets this week.
Oh,
and those are pretty sweet. All right, Cleveland, New England. New England's gonna be starting Zappy.
Mm-hmm.
Zappy the Wonder Pig at
yeah, did you notice that Mac Jones is currently on a timeline to return just in time to play the Chicago Bears?
Well, yeah.
Thanks.
Cleveland's run game plus New England at Cleveland, I think the Browns win.
I'm taking the Cleveland Browns. They keep finding very creative ways to lose, as though every game is a Marty Schottenheimer AFC title game. I don't want to sound so confident because every time I do, I get burned by it. But I'm picking the Cleveland Browns here.
Running game and they're home. I think just those two factors. I mean, unless Zappy has one of those Davis Mills inexplicable 350-yard, four touchdown kind of games, which I don't think is going to happen.
He shredded the Lions last week in a game. I think we both picked the Lions.
What happened to the friggin' Lions? Didn't even come out of their cave.
I'm 0-5 picking Detroit Lion games this year. They're impossible.
The fact that they were one of the top scoring teams and then they come out and not even do anything.
Not a point.
That was a Bill Belichick throwback game if I've ever seen one. He's like,
speaking of throwbacks,
I don't think I'm going to let you guys score this week.
How about Pat Pete on the helmet? He was back for that game.
Who?
Pete the Patriot.
Okay, the old school. Okay,
yeah, the throwback uniform.
The guy
is what
lined up behind the other guy with the ball.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. I actually like a lot of the throwbacks, but yeah. All that logo is to me as a 45-year-old is. Oh, yeah. Remember when the Patriots sucked? That was awesome.
Hey, they went to the Super Bowl in those jerseys.
Yeah, and they got destroyed Bears.
They got slapped around a little bit, but
they got treated like a runaway kid at the bus stop, man.
Lest we never forget, they scored the first points of that Super Bowl.
That was just until Richard Dent and Singletary got mad.
I'll never forget my dad telling me that he said the most terrified he ever was watching a sporting event was watching Jim McMahon and Walter Payton fumble a exchanged handoff on the first snap of the Super Bowl. And he said, we are not seriously going to go 15-1 just to lose the Super Bowl to this wild card Patriots team, are we? Oh my God, we're seriously going to lose to the Patriots now. And then the rest of the game happened.
this next one, Jacksonville's another team that underwhelmed this last week, and then
I love how we're just gonna skip.
I already picked him. sorry, no. This is the game of hate. I hate Zach Wilson with the power of 1,000 suns.
Zach Wilson will be my favorite quarterback playing on Sunday.
In that game.
No, I just mean on Sunday. Like, because the Bears are on Thursday week. So Zach Wilson is now my...
I'm going Packers. I hate Zach Wilson. I think he is the biggest fraud at quarterback in the NFL.
I'm going to break out. I have a Jonathan Vilma Jets jersey I'm going to wear for these noon kickoff games.
Go right
I'm
going to watch. Go, Pack, go.
Oh, I hate you now. Ugh. Anyhow, we are both picking the Packers, though, because as hard as I'm rooting for the Jets, I'm also not an idiot. This game's nearly impossible.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Indianapolis. Indianapolis has looked a little better. Jacksonville, a little worse. So
Indianapolis
yeah.
got absolutely smacked around by Jacksonville in Jacksonville. But apparently, they've done that every single year since, like, 2011. So I guess that's just their scheduled Florida beating that they pencil in every year. I'm going to say they get their win back in Indianapolis. I'm going to take the Colts.
I am too. I'm going to take the Colts because I have Taylor on my fantasy team.
Who might not play.
Even though he's questionable, I have no choice but to start him anyway because that's what you do when you draft someone number one overall.
You're 49ering. Look at you.
You have to play them. Have to. Up next, Minnesota at Miami. Miami will be starting Skylar Thompson.
Not officially confirmed yet, as Bridgewater did practice today.
I read, the thing I read this, so if it's changed, it's changed this morning. Because this morning I read that he was starting.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's possible they could change that. But what if something happens to Skylar Thompson?
They would be on Tyreek Hill at quarterback, I think.
Well, Miami did kind of popularize that whole Wildcat phase in the NFL which
worked for exactly one game, and then they tried it a second time, and Bill Belichick said, wait a minute, you stole this from the 40s. I know how to defend this.
probably because he read a book on football in the 40s. Belichick's a historian.
Lest we
man.
Forget, Bill Belichick's dad coached football at Navy.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone that should understand the wing tee option offense.
I am picking Minnesota to get back on track here.
I am taking them back on track. They won.
They did, but they haven't looked good since like week one. I'm looking for a big game from Justin Jeffries.
He had that last week too.
And I'm just looking for a more dominant game.
I think Minnesota's going to win. I think the momentum is not on their side after consecutive losses to the Bengals, which is acceptable, and the Jets, which is not. At home or not. And this is one of those rare times where I think to myself, normally I just root against the division because that's fun. Am I rooting for Minnesota in this game? Do I just root for Minnesota for the rest of the year so that they can...
Yeah, you kind of seem like you do.
Like, just so they can fend Green Bay off with a stick? Like... That's how little faith I have that this is the Bears' year to take the division, is that I'm just going to straight up early on root for Minnesota to win it.
Keep them at bay like Sarah Connor and the Terminator on that first one. It's like clawing at her from the machine.
Yeah, like I'll start hating Minnesota again once the playoffs roll around, but I just need them to be the representative from our division, if at all possible.
So moving on to the next one, New Orleans shocked me last week.
It's Joe Burrow's return to the Lou.
It is, but I look at New Orleans. First off, I don't like Taysom Hill either. But I respect Taysom Hill because he's turned himself into some juice-laden X-weapon. And when he was at BYU, he could not stay on the field. He was injured all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans couldn't wait to move on from him and bring in Tanner Mangum, which is why when BYU fans now latch onto that, well, did you see how many touchdowns Taysom had last week? I want to punch him in the face because it's like, you guys ran him out of town.
May I point out... Speaking of BYU, we don't talk a lot of college football on this show anymore, which is weird. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Our boss is a big BYU fan.
He's an alumnus.
He is a massive BYU supporter. They go to a lot of games, he and his wife.
Season tickets.
Yep.
And he's a graduate. He and his wife are both graduates.
Mm-hmm. They graduated from that Notre Dame beating on Saturday is what they did.
It was 8 points, man. But it was enough to knock him out of the rankings, which is, you know, that was nice. But going back to Taysom Hill real quick. That being said, I still went on the waiver wire a couple weeks ago and picked him up, carried him for a week, and then didn't start him when he gets his four touchdowns last
week. I was about to say, in our league that we're both in, I lost 29 points because Hill was on my bench and I had Zach Ertz at tight end.
He was on my bench in my other league. And then I look at it, and then I go to start him this week, and I go, okay, is this the week he has like zero touches for 0 yards? I don't know. I think Cincinnati, I want to pick Cincinnati.
I'm going to take the Bengals.
But New Orleans is just, I'm going with the Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Bengals because I think the Bengals defense is going to do a better job containing the Saints than the Saints defense will be able to do because the Bengals offense simply has more talent on it. This is a game between two teams that I very much like, though. This is going to be the best-looking game of the weekend. I love both these uniforms. If the Saints would go back to their gold pants, I'd really love it. Stop wearing the black jerseys with black pants. It's dumb, and you've ruined the greatest jerseys in sports.
It is possible there could be a Wyoming jersey exchange, by the way, in this game. Logan Wilson for Cincinnati, Carl Granderson for the Saints.
Woo.
I have to keep throwing out the Wyoming references because you people just don't get it. This next one, I think New York's little Cinderella start comes to a screeching halt this week.
I am also taking the Ravens, who will probably disappoint us both because that's how Pick'em has gone for us this year.
Not only that, that's what the Giants have done this year. They've taken a surefire, oh, they're going to lose that, and then grind it out into an ugly paste and put a W on it.
I think I'm 0 for 5 picking Giant games, too.
I might be, too. I don't even know. But I am picking the Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson is just too much by himself. There you go.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Oh, Tampa Bay is going to slap the Steelers around like you've never seen.
Well, I don't know. I just saw the Steelers get slapped around pretty bad by the Bills last weekend. That was just about as bad as it gets.
So I had Gabe Davis on my bench in two leagues.
Good job.
No, hold on. And Mike Thomas was announced as out Saturday night.
Shocking.
So I went, oh, crap. Okay, I got to put Davis in. If Mike Thomas had not been ruled out,
you wouldn't have played him.
Gabe Davis would have been on my bench in two leagues. Gabe Davis scored like 50-something points.
A million points.
And I have Josh Allen.
Josh Allen had 348 yards at halftime.
Oh, I know.
He was on pace for a 700-yard game.
Remember when we managed to talk you out of taking Josh Allen one overall?
And see, and that's that right there. That winning it went against what I have done for years. Pick the player you want. Don't go into the stretch. I am having the worst fantasy league in both the leagues that I'm in. I'm having the worst season I've had in a long time.
Jonathan Taylor is not helping.
Well, and neither is the guy behind him, and the guy behind him also in our league. I picked up Rashad Penny, who had a great game.
Oh, God.
And now he's out for the year. I
picked up Walker.
I'm in a bad spot. So I may not get invited back, although I am trying.
Well, Dakota Yoakum has something like 121 losses in his career.
Well, I'm
to like 50-something wins.
Well, I'm not going to get to that this year, but right now, things are bleak.
Despite the fact, I think you're in fifth place.
Really?
Because you started 2-0.
Oh, that's true.
Like, you're like ninth in scoring, but fifth in the standings. It's hilarious.
I'm probably ninth out of eight teams. speaking of bleak, the Rams and the Panthers. The Panthers firing Matt Rhule this week. He becomes the first coach to get fired. And then you have the Rams, defending Super Bowl champs. They've looked not so good.
Yeah, so I normally watch Red Zone for the entirety of my noon and afternoon games.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these 3 2 o'clock games and tell me that there is any reason I shouldn't just switch over to the Bills-Chiefs broadcast.
Yeah, why
instead?
Would you? There might be a little bit of intrigue.
Cardinals-Seahawks could turn into a shootout, theoretically.
That's what I was going to say. There could be a little intrigue there just because Geno Smith continues to defy.
The only reason
people think of him,
I might have red zone on, is because I have some players in fantasy football playing in the other two games.
But other than that, why would you?
I'm guessing red zone is just going to become a pseudo Bills Chiefs broadcast, and they'll just switch to the games when they have to.
Well, let's hurry and pick these so we can get to that one. Rams.
Oh, I'm taking the Rams and Cardinals.
I'm going to go Cardinals. All right, Buffalo at Kansas City. The return back to the scene of the 13 seconds. Josh Allen played a perfect game.
So did Gabe Davis.
he played a perfect game, but it wasn't enough. It was one of those. That being said, Kansas City, man, they look good. Everybody's like, well, Tyreek Hill, blah, 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 blah. And I think I might have even said that. Andy Reid and his staff, they go and pick up guy. In fact, I can't even name the guy. He's like the backup running back. He's tiny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and they got him for nothing. He was either
You're talking about McKinnon?
Yes. They got him for nothing, or he was a seventh rounder or something like that. And it's like, holy crap, that guy is fast.
Mm-hmm.
They have a knack for finding these players that fit the roles within what they want. And then they just keep on rolling. So long as they have Travis Kelce, of course.
Yeah.
Which, he did was have 4 touchdowns on 25 yards.
So I actually...
He's the opposite of the Commanders.
I topped 225 points in all 3 of my fantasy leagues. And Josh Allen is like 99% responsible for that. But some other players that helped me out last week. I had Travis Kelce in one league. I had Gabe Davis in 2 of them.
Wow. You're due to have a really crappy week. I have to go Buffalo. I have to. So.
So this is the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career he has ever been a Vegas underdog at home.
Really?
It's the only time it's ever happened. Well, he's played New England at home twice. He's been favored in both of those.
I'm sure they'll use that to their motivation.
I'm still taking the Bills. I agree with Vegas.
I am too. They are missing some key guys. But I still
Are they missing Josh Allen?
Nope.
Are they missing Stephon Diggs?
Nope.
I don't care.
Okay. Well, there you go. But that's who I'm picking. And yes, you might as well just watch that game. The other ones, if you'll notice, at least on my screen, it says that one actually kicks off at 1:25 p.m. instead of 1:05.
Oh, you're still on Pacific time on your laptop then.
I guess. Yeah, I have a new laptop. Sorry.
Yeah, that one's 2:25 Mountain Time.
Yeah, and I get that.
3:25 Central.
But yeah, it kicks off 20 minutes later.
Yeah, as it they normally have one game or two games that do that for no reason whatsoever. Also, Seahawks Cardinals, we're told, might be bumped back to 4:05 instead of 2:05 kickoff Mountain Time. If Seattle is playing a game, if the Mariners are playing on Sunday, if they are hosting their first home game, they will bump the Seahawks Cardinals game back 2 hours.
Okay.
So potential scheduling thing there. Sunday night football in a game that coming into the season, you would have probably scratched your head and said, really? That's Sunday night football? You have Bills Chiefs on the schedule and you're going to make us watch the crappy Eagles take on the disappointing Cowboys. And now here they are at 4-1 and 5-0, and this is for first place in the
Bills
division.
Chiefs is still a better game.
It's still a better game, but this is no longer the crap fest we all thought it was going
to
be.
Which is weird since I keep wanting to call him Jeffrey Rush. That is the actor. That is the actor who plays Barbossa in the Pirates movies. I do that every time. Cooper Rush is going to start again this week, despite Prescott making some progress in his recovery from that thumb surgery. Philadelphia's at Philly. That's going to be an electric atmosphere. I'm going Eagles, and it makes me sick.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Why would you fly if it's the road? It's such a stupid song.
I love the part where they literally just advocate that you high-low somebody in the song. Hit 'em high, hit 'em low. Bite their kneecaps, stab them once or twice. I think that's part of the song, too.
It is Philly.
Yeah. I'm taking the Eagles as well. And then, oh my God, why? Why does this keep happening? Stop making us watch the Broncos on primetime.
It's because when they put this on there, this was going to be, oh my gosh, Super Bowl favorite Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Oh my gosh, Super Bowl favorite Russell Wilson and the Broncos. And instead we've got poop.
Geno Smith, by the way, is miles better than Russell Wilson this year.
He's looked terrible. In fact, the old let Russ cook. You keep hearing that. My brother texted me during last week's game and goes, Russ cooking hot dogs again. And I said, yeah, and they're not even the good ones. They're like the 99-center chicken lips hot dogs.
Did you see his poor wide receiver? Who's I forget which one.
Hamler, wide open. Yeah.
Literally could have been butt naked running through that end zone. He was so uncovered. And Russ Wilson decided, I'm going to stare at Cortland Sutton for 8 seconds, wait until he's somehow more covered than he was when this play began, then throw it to him.
Well, yeah, so we're both going Chargers.
I'm going Chargers.
So here's what's crazy. I'm looking at my sheet now, and I'm going to show this to you. Mm-hmm. I have literally picked every favorite except tonight. I'm picking the Commanders.
So we have all the exact same teams, and tonight is to determine who wins the
really?
Week.
Really? And we both... Wow, we're not very exciting this week. We all picked the favorites?
We did that week one, too, and my one team got that victory. So you're behind me by one in the standings.
Well, this is important.
This is
then.
Your chance.
This is it. So that makes me sad because usually when I watch my team this year, I don't have anything on the line. So there we go. Yeah, there it is. Our pick'em for the week. And I am not doing so well. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. I am actually one game below 500. I'm 39-40.
Yeah, I'm 40-39. My wife is slapping the entire league around all of a sudden. I think she's up by like 4 on whoever's in second place.
Well, I'm turning into the smooth Jimmy Apollo of our league. If you're right 51% of the time, never mind. It's a Simpsons reference. They're making fun of Jimmy the Greek. It's like, if you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time. There you go. I'm not even to that. I'm wrong. I'm wrong the majority of the time right now, 51%. So there you go.
Speaking of Jimmy the Greek, because we talked about the 85 Bears earlier, my dad has every single broadcast from the 85 Bears season on a DVD. Not even like an official DVD, like license. Like someone burned these onto a DVD from, like, it's got the commercials on it and everything. Go back. Jimmy the Greek picked the Rams in that NFC Championship game to beat the 85 Bears. And may we all just laugh as that goes down as one of the most hilarious decisions in pregame sports broadcaster pick'em.
I'm not going to laugh at him now. He's dead.
And I believe he said Eric Dickerson was why. He said Eric Dickerson's going to run all over the Bears. Give me the Rams 29-10 was his prediction.
Wow.
Eric Dickerson had under 30 yards rushing in that football game. And Walter Payton was the other running back, just so we're clear. How many times do you think Eric Dickerson was the second best running back in a football game played?
Well, how many times did the Bears give up 29 points in a game that season?
Once.
Zero?
One time. I believe the Miami Dolphins lit him up.
Oh, that's right, in the game they lost.
In the game that... Have you seen like 3 touchdowns were all touched a Bears player before being caught?
The champagne popping.
That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But speaking of, when the Dolphins lost their first game this year, do you suppose the 72 Dolphins pop champagne?
No, sorry, say that again.
Do you think that when the Dolphins lost their first game this year?
No.
You said, no?
The Eagles are still undefeated.
Yeah. Had the Dolphins continued, do you think the 72 Dolphins would pull that, though? Like, even though it's their own franchise?
Yes, they'd absolutely still... they would. They're a bunch of old school, we don't care what you think. Oh, it's our own, but yeah, we don't care. Hmm. They're a bunch of alcoholics, they want to drink that champagne.
I can't believe any of them are still around. And yet...
Well, a lot of them aren't.
Yeah, they just keep on ticking. The baseball playoffs also started.
Yeah.
The Mariners make me want to rip my hair out.
See, I kind of like that the Mariners are doing okay because it's been so long since they're in the postseason.
Choking that game one away to Houston.
I know, but it's the fact that they're playing.
Well, see, you can think that if you like the Mariners. I am only watching that because I hate the Astros.
Yeah, I don't like the Astros. Bunch of cheaters.
Now, granted, I believe all their cheaters have officially... are gone now.
They're still cheaters. It's a.
But my issue is no longer with any of their players. Now my issue is just with their fans who refuse to acknowledge that their World Series has an asterisk, and they just keep bragging about it anyway.
Well,
like, I'm sorry, but
it's just like last
you
week.
You need to say sorry.
All these people that were asking, acting like Barry Bonds is the home run king. It is. Look it up. I'm like, yeah. And you see that thing there?
That says with assistance.
And then they're like, he didn't ever fail one drug test. And I'm just like, okay.
He was 8 times the size he was before the steroids.
Yeah, he looked like Big Hero 6.
My other favorite, and we've already made this reference before, but the people who will actually say, well, it doesn't affect your hand-eye. He still had to hit the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he hit it, and it went farther because he suddenly had so much more muscle on him.
He hit it, and instead of it going 300 feet, it went 350 feet, which in a lot of ballparks is a home run.
Amazing how that works.
Isn't that something?
And I will say this. Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, put asterisks next to them, but they were proven commodities before the steroid.
So was Barry Bonds. Yeah,
that's what I said. Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa.
So was Mark McGwire.
Mark McGwire was an entirely different player.
He was. He was not a. He was just a hitter. I'll give you that. But I guess that's the thing that makes me the saddest about Barry Bonds.
Like, I think Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa should both be in the Hall of Fame.
And they would have been.
Because they probably would have been even without the roids. I don't think Mark McGwire sniffs the Hall of Fame
That's the part that makes me sad about Bonds in particular. I brought this up before. Before he was on steroids, which I think he was.
He was probably still a top 10 player of all time.
And he's the only 500 guy. Only. And that was before steroids. And yet he decides, I'm gonna risk my legacy here. You're an idiot. I'm glad he's not in. I hope he doesn't ever get in. Mm. But I'm a casual baseball fan, too. So what does
it does just seem weird, though, that you'd probably say, is Barry Bonds, I don't know, like the third best baseball player ever? Yeah, probably. It is weird if you're a hardcore baseball fan that you're like, he's not in our Hall of Fame because
Neither's Pete Rose.
Yeah, he did a bad. Baseball is a little too strict with their rules.
Well, it is interesting that a sport that openly glorified cheating for so long, the whole...
Won't do the same with the players who participated?
Well, it depends what era you cheated in. Yeah, you can shave the outside off the ball with your belt buckle, but you can't take a liquid in your butt that...
My other favorite, speaking of, was my dad and I talking about how, isn't it funny that the internet immediately all stormed the Devonte Adams thing with, arrest him, he's a thug, he's this, he's that. Everyone hates when players act up now. And I said, isn't it hilarious, though, that you watch, like, remember when Matt Millen just punched a reporter in the face for asking about a loss? And people look back on it because it's not actively happening, and we're all like, classic
that was
Raiders.
That was funny. I will say this, though. The tables have turned on this Devonte Adams thing. So in the last few hours, the cameraman, I put in quotes, filed charges, or he filed something. And then
he filed a police report?
Yes. And then there were criminal charges that were filed.
He was found guilty.
By the police. Anyway, but now this guy is he says he's got a concussion. He's got a spinal injury.
The injuries he listed are so over the top.
And it's, I guess what I'm saying is, our friend Duke, who works here, I'm stealing what he said. He has flipped the narrative. So people were like, Devonte Adams, you thug. Now it's like, look at this chump trying to extort money. Screw that guy. Seriously, Devonte Adams is just like, I'll let you guys keep talking. Yeah, this guy is... He's trying to get a couple hundred grand on a settlement, period.
And the funniest part is, isn't it weird how he feels like the only way to win this lawsuit was to entirely emasculate himself in every way? Like, he looks... Like, let's pretend like it comes out that he's telling the truth. Like, all of these injuries are real.
Okay.
Are you the single weakest human being on the planet?
It wasn't even a big push.
Are you made of paper?
And also keep in mind, how many times do you see camera people get taken the bleep out
oh,
during a game.
We were NFL talking about, Films had a whole NFL Follies episode there was a, filled with
there
it.
There was a woman cameraman last week in an end zone. What game was it? She got blasted, like mm-hmm. flat on her back. She was wearing a hat, and she got hit so hard, her hat, like once her head hit the ground, her hat just went boom, like flew back like 5 feet. And you want to know what she did? She got up and kept filming.
She spit a tooth out?
Yeah, she might have. And it's just like, yeah, I'm with you. The guy is just like, they have injured me. I deserve compensation.
Like, on one hand, like, I you know, probably. But my point is, you would have won this anyway. You would have gotten a couple $1,000s for getting shoved for no reason. Why do you make yourself look like such a dweeb?
Well, everyone has a price.
It was on camera. You that's, already won.
By the way, that's another thing, the narrative surrounding this. So the reports said Las Vegas Raiders star Devontae Adams was caught on camera. Caught on camera? It was the main cameras for Monday Night Football, as he walked off the field. It was not a secret. Can we please stop with that language? It's like that. It was a $500,000 camera being pointed at someone who was in the homes of the, it was probably the most watched thing in the country that week.
May I say though, the worst thing Devontae Adams did on Monday night was not catch the freaking football.
Yeah.
On that third and one. Like, how, first of all, don't bobble the ball. Second of all, if you do bobble it, you know what the rules of football are. I'm sorry. It's going to make me sound heartless. You just take that shot to the knees. You catch the football. Well, don't hurdle the guy to get out of bounds. You just let him hit you in the knees, and you catch the ball. The first down is more important than your kneecaps.
And then the last play, he and Hunter Renfrow do a Keystone Cops impression and run into each other. It's like, aren't you both Pro Bowlers? What are you doing? Actually, I don't know if Hunter Renfrow is a Pro Bowl or not, but he's a pretty dang good receiver.
To be fair, I believe it was Renfrow that was being guided, shall we say, by the Kansas City defender and was inexplicably not called. There was a hand on the shoulder pad, a closed hand. You're telling me that the guy just was holding a fist on your shoulder?
I also would say
it wasn't
this.
In a fist for a reason,
so
perhaps?
We're talking about that. In a game where both coaching staffs
went for two for no reason.
Exactly. Especially the Raiders. It's like, holy crap, McDaniels. Andy Reid gave you a gift. All you had to do was kick the extra point, and the game is tied.
Here's why I disagree with 4.5 minutes left of doing that. And then Rodney Harrison talking about, I actually think it was great because the Chiefs' offense was so good. You need to keep the pressure on him. I said, no. Do the opposite. If you get to a 4th and 2 at midfield, I want the Chiefs punting. I don't want them thinking that they now have to go for it because they'll probably make it on me.
I just...
just tie the game, see if you can get the ball back.
This goes back to my, let's run the shotgun, let's run a pistol set at the goal line. Players, coaches, analytics, they're all overthinking things now. I grew up in an era where if you can put any points on the board... put them on the board. And it was like, now move on to the next thing. It wasn't even a discussion. And that's what I was thinking that whole time. I'm like, not only do they have a chance to put a point on the board, which is the whole point,
mm-hmm.
it ties the game.
Yeah.
Which is huge. And then they chose not to.
I will say, my decision varies if that touchdown had been scored with 16 seconds and they're like, you know what? Let's win the game now. Yeah. Screw overtime. There was 4.5 minutes left.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, and both coaches were guilty of it.
And McDaniels, there's no reason he should still be employed.
Well,
that roster is a good roster, and they are losing games.
You're not going to fire him 6 games in, or 5, or whatever it is.
I would have fired him the day after that I found out that we had accidentally hired him. I would have gone, wait, hold on, Josh McDaniels? No, call him back. Tell him he's fired.
Anyway, what a wacky situation that whole game was. What else you want to talk about here, Aaron?
Oh, well, we did discuss a little bit. The baseball playoffs are in full force.
Yes.
Padres knotted up the series last night, took it to the Dodgers.
Which is kind of crazy. You think about the Padres, they swooned hard there late in the season. Fernando Tatis out for the whole second. And yet they still made the playoffs. They still made the postseason.
Now, granted, they did pick up Juan Soto.
Still.
So,
but they were supposed to have everybody, and they don't.
So they knotted up with the Dodgers. The Phillies dropped one to the Braves, so that one's knotted up as well. And the Yankees, in a contest of two teams I cannot stand, and I can't believe one of them gets to advance, are up 1-0 on the Guardians. And you know what's more sickening than that? Is whoever wins that series is probably playing the Astros in the American League Championship for the right to go to the World Series. Yeah. And I hate these playoffs.
Well, as we speak,
burn them, kill them with fire.
As we speak, the Mariners and Astros are playing, so still 0-0, top of the second.
Ugh.
That's where we are on the day. We're that late with the podcast.
Yes. That's okay.
In fact, we should probably end it so you have an extra 10 minutes to post this before the football game gets going.
I do want to talk about one other thing, though, that we mentioned a little bit. What did Wyoming do last week, by the way?
We defeated New Mexico.
Brilliant.
Had one of the most putrid first quarters imaginable. We're down 14-0 to a team that you should beat handily. And then decided to figure it out, turn it around, score 27 unanswered, and win 27-14.
That's the way you do
it. Go Pokes. Hashtag go Pokes.
Notre Dame got the big win against BYU. The Catholics now 11-0 against the Mormons.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you pointed that out at staff meeting. Yeah, he's one of those. I will just point out that one of those people you were mocking signs your check.
Yes.
So, careful. Careful, careful, careful.
Well, at my last job, my boss was a Bears fan, so that got boring. So I like to make it more interesting now.
I have a rule. I am nice to people who sign my check, and right now Kim's the only one. So,
but yeah, so Notre Dame got the big win. Illinois took on Iowa in a touchdownless affair, but Illinois was out their starting quarterback, who has been shockingly good this year. He was awful last season.
They're ranked, man.
And they are ranked. We're not sure if the quarterback's
Wyoming
coming back.
Helped with that. We got thumped in 0 week. You're welcome.
So I don't know how long that ranking's going to last without a starting quarterback. Maybe he'll be back this week. His injury was seemingly unknown, and they're not as quick with injury reports for college football as they are for pro stuff, because they're not as reporters aren't as allowed into medical facilities at the college level.
Yeah, they're not professionals.
Yes. So we'll find out. But Illinois ranked. That's fun.
It's
neat.
It is neat.
They're not my primary college team, but when you're from the Chicagoland area, you do that weird thing. You pick a favorite team, and then you kind of pay attention to the rest of them. Illinois is one of the teams right there with Northern Illinois and Northwestern that I kind of pay attention to. And they're ranked, and it's neat. And I say,
ooh, golf clap from Aaron. That's high praise.
I said, ooh, neat. The Notre Dame Fighting Michael Mayers. Now have a winning record for the first time this year.
They should have changed him to Michael Myers since we're so close to Halloween.
I do appreciate that, and they've done it since his freshman year. Every time Michael Mayer catches a pass at Notre Dame Stadium, the Halloween theme plays.
I like that.
Throughout the stadium.
I do.
And it wouldn't be as funny if he was like a little slot receiver and his name was just that. It helps that he's 6'7" and he's a 270-pound athletic monster.
Yeah.
Because you do feel intimidated. He gets up and he hands the ball back to the ref, and here he comes. He's walking back to the huddle to do 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 do, and you're probably wetting yourself a little bit. She's like, "Oh my God, he's coming."
The only person who's not scared, Jamie Lee Curtis. She's not scared.
Well, she has been in every film. She just usually wins.
And what's funny is, like, supposedly the last one is opening like this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
with the ninth different actor that's played Michael Myers.
Well, she keeps killing him.
I kind of liked Michael Myers better when he wasn't a supernatural deity. It was funner when he was just a really tough psychopath. Well, may I just say that?
Well, go back and watch an old one then.
I have. And it's still good if you've seen the original Halloween.
I like the Halloween things that make fun of it. They're like, have him dancing and with the mic. They have people like dancing with the Michael Myers, like dancing and doing different things that are like upbeat and playful.
Mm-hmm.
I love those videos. Those are hilarious.
With the I found out, apparently, I thought this was incredibly common knowledge, but evidently my dad told me that he just learned it from a Netflix documentary the other day. You are aware that that was a Captain Kirk,
yep, as William Shatner. It was a William Shatner mask they just peeled off
and
the
outside.
And they
dipped it in white paint.
Yeah. They were out of time. They went to a local costume shop, and it was one of those cheapo, put over your front face, Captain Kirk, William Shatner's.
One thing I didn't know.
And if you're a Trekkie, you can tell pretty easily that that's
so. Evidently, the documentary was Movies That Shaped America, is what my dad
was
watching.
Oh, okay. I like those.
Okay. So I didn't know this one either. Home Alone pulled a bit of a fast one on Warner Brothers, and they are still to this day upset about that one. Warner Brothers gave them $10 million. Home Alone, the budgeters said, oh, well, if we want the movie we want, it's going to be
more than that.
It's 14.7. Maybe we'll ask for a slight raise. They already went to Fox and said, can we get $15 million? Fox said, we love the plot. We'd give it to you. So they went to Warner Brothers and said, can we have it be $15 million? Warner Brothers said, no, we told you $10 million, so shut this down. And they said, okay, turn around, signed with Fox.
I watched that. Yeah, I saw that and thought, wow, there's all kinds of stuff. All kinds of weird stuff.
Anyhow, I kind of mentioned it to you personally, but I need to talk about this because I'm so excited. I'm giddy, hopping up and down. Saturday was the greatest day ever in the history of sports for me. Notre Dame won, Illinois won, and then to cap off my night, I turned on WWE's pay-per-view Extreme Rules, and it was okay. There were some wrestles on it. Some guys wrestled. Who cares? What matters is that at the end of the pay-per-view, Bray Wyatt returned, and I almost cried. It was a beautiful moment. They gave him the red card. They gave him the Michael Myers rollout. They gave him a cinematic 10-minute entrance.
Wow.
To come back. So when he left, he was a horror-themed villain. He was Mr. Rogers, but with the twist being that there was a weird creature called the Fiend that inhabited him. So he would run this children's show, but it was slightly off every time. So it was something vaguely creepy. And then when he'd come out to wrestle, it would start off with his little, we're really glad that you're our friend theme song. And then it would kind of decay. And then hard rock, and he'd come out, and he was the Fiend. And he was an evil supernatural demon thing. And it was creepy. So he comes out, and he's got the whole world in his hands, starts playing through the loudspeakers as the wrestlers from the main event are leaving the ring. And they stop, and they're like, huh? All the lights go out. It's super dark. Gets real slow. It's a deep, he's got the whole world. And people are lighting up their cell phones. And then finally, like 2 minutes into that, a spotlight comes down and there's a guy in a costume in the stands now. He's in that little bit in the arena where it's like, you know, the entrance.
I guess. You're so far ahead of me on this.
Okay. So in an arena, if you've been to an indoor arena, which I assume you have as a diehard sport, you know, how you actually enter the seating part from the concessions.
Okay.
So there's a guy just standing there, and he's dressed up as the vulture puppet from the Firefly Funhouse, and the crowd just explodes. Spotlight leaves him. Spotlight goes somewhere else. It's the bunny puppet, the guy dressed up as his rabbit. Crowd is at this point about ready to all light themselves on fire with excitement. Then it shows, and there's a guy dressed as the Fiend, but it's not Bray Wyatt this time. It's just the Fiend mask on a guy, right at ringside. Crowd is at this point registering on the Richter scale, and then some weird spooky door rises up from the middle of that big entrance ramp, and then the vignette plays of the Firefly Funhouse, and it's all covered in cobwebs because Bray Wyatt was fired a year and a half ago for no reason other than being fat. Because Vince McMahon didn't like him because he was fat.
Okay.
That is the actual reason. He was their number one merchandise seller for 3 straight years. Vince McMahon fired him because they didn't get along because Vince didn't like his body shape. Imagine you ran a business and like your lead salesman was making you like 8 times more money than all your other salesmen. And you're like, I don't like his tie.
Your tie is
fire
fat.
Him. Like, so he's back. I don't know, all the cobwebs, and then he comes out the door with his old gimmick of spooky cult leader from Louisiana, And he comes out with the lantern, and the crowd explodes, and he hits his old catchphrase. He leans into the camera and, "I'm here." Blows out the lantern. Broadcast ends. Perfection.
I'm glad you're happy.
Thank you. I haven't really been enjoying watching professional wrestling in a good couple of years now.
So now you will.
Now I am so excited. Triple H is doing a wondrous job having taken over the creative direction. Apparently, he doesn't hate fat people either because he brought Bray Wyatt back.
Yeah, no body shaming. Screw you, Vince McMahon.
Bray Wyatt, one of the most creative characters they've had in decades. I love everything. Everything he touches is the most interesting thing. And here's the thing. He's actually not like a great wrestler. Like, he gets in the ring. He does like five moves.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. So did Hulk Hogan. Nobody cared.
So did Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Nobody cared if you are creative and your gimmick resonates. And Bray Wyatt is one of the most creative storytellers I've ever seen. All his own ideas for his own character always hit. I love them. And he also just got back from directing some small-time horror movie, which I'm hoping will be coming out sometime next year, as it's reported to.
Yeah, you're already going to be in line for tickets, aren't you?
Like, he directed a horror movie?
Why not?
That's awesome.
Why not?
So we can probably go ahead and leave it there, unless there's something we're forgetting. I certainly didn't forget what the Blackhawks did last night, coming out and crapping the bed, as we all assumed they would. Great, great start to their schedule, by the way. They get the Colorado Avalanche on their first game, and then tonight they go to Vegas and they play the Golden Knights.
Nice.
Remember when we were the class of the NHL?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I miss that.
Yeah, go back and watch the good times. That's what I do.
Pretty much what I have to do at this point. Anyway, you can catch us every Wednesday.
Every time that we get it done.
On Spotify, YouTube, and svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.